have?" It goes on down to the next part where the Pharisees question Jesus and demand for a sign. And it's when the disciples realize all they have is one loaf of bread in the boat. And kind of the same situation repeats. And they discussed it with one another and said, "It is because we have no bread," that Jesus had warned them, "Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod." And then, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, "Why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up?" And that's a great way to start, because Luca told me yesterday that this song, the lyrics of this song that his wife wrote, that is often sung in their prayer and charismatic Catholic prayer and praise service that meets every week, they often sing this Eucharistic song that she wrote. And it's a beautiful song that we've translated into English to the best of our ability, and you'll hear it later during communion. But the title is "Dagli te stesso," which, if you translate that in a way from the Italian, means "Give them yourself to eat." Don't just give them the food, but actually give them yourself. So these are the lyrics to her song. "If you open your heart and let the world come into you, wider, larger horizons will open up. Wider than the unsatisfied needs that shout, scream, or cry out, of which you have already forgotten. If for a moment you get out of the little world that you are, you will discover that there is a big crowd all around you, for which I feel an immense compassion. If you give me the little that you have, I will bless it, and I will make you bread. One day you are also among them. Never forget it. So tell me now why it costs you so much to satisfy the hunger of your brother. Remember that love never makes you poor, because the more you give, the more you receive. Now you have seen that there is a world waiting, but you are free to love or not. If you give me the little that you have, I will bless it and I will make you bread. Bread, 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 bread of love. Give them yourself to eat. What does it cost you to love? Give them yourself to eat. You're free to love or not." It's great to be back at Narcis, back with family, and especially great to share this aspect of our life with friends whom we've come to love and trust in our life. In Orvieto. I'll try to smile to make myself overcome this. But yesterday, Luca said, as we were driving back after a week of spending time with family here, them visiting with us, getting to know the family more closely, Luca just said something that was very meaningful. I mean, with a big smile on his face. We were driving back from the old city after doing the Via Dolorosa together and a liturgical procession inside the Holy Sepulchre. And he says, okay, Matt, I get it. I understand what it is that you miss about being here and what you have that you don't have abroad. I didn't expect this so early. Chuck asked us to share today, knowing the friendship we have with the Markey family. We are accustomed to welcoming and to hearing stories from all over the Middle East and from in this country, from abroad, and in every language. If I've learned one of the many things from Chuck is that he loves languages, loves hearing them spoken, and he loves translation. Today we wanted to share this deeply human testimony of love and loss, sacrifice, and undying light. And while this may sound like a eulogy of sorts, we pray that it will do its part in bringing the pain of one family nearer to ours, where our care can greet another's sorrow, and where we can encourage them by listening to the mystery of this tragedy. Because standing in pain is one of the most important things that we are called to do. 4 months ago, Elisa left this earth at the moment of greatest giving, at the birth of their fourth child, Maddalena. And Luca is here in Jerusalem to pray grieve, give his children an adventure, and walk in the city he never expected to be walking in without Elisa. Our friendship with Luca and Elisa started immediately when we moved to Orvieto. We were introduced to them through our dear friend and my close colleague, Alessandro, and his family. Alessandro is Elisa's brother, and so Luca's brother-in-law. And like here, we were among a number of young families with kids. Being in Orvieto has been challenging as a family, even if it is as picturesque as possible. Many of you here know what it is like as strangers, foreigners, to receive the grace of a host culture. What a simple phone call, attentive hand, and encouraging word can mean. Luca and Elisa were completely open to our strangeness and never expected us to act unlike us, never expecting us to be more than what we could in our process of adapting. They hosted so many people as a family, from the Bishop of Orvieto to local prisoners on weekend parole, friends of every station in their home. This openness is in part due to the fact that Luca is a Roman, himself a non-Orvietano by birth, even if it is only 1 hour away. But it also has something to do with the tenderness of Elisa. They complemented one another in many ways, this being one of the significant pairings of qualities that we noticed immediately. And we needed that for our family as we evolved in understanding our new hometown. Their kindness during my father's suffering and death was unforgettable, and Elisa's tenderness towards our kids was a constant source of comfort and encouragement. These are friends who are devout in their faith and action. They pray, worship, and share their life with the life of the town, with one another in the community, and even worship and serve in the local prison. There are so many things that could be said, but I thought one of the first insights into who Luca was that I learned came after we had what was a bit of a misunderstanding over a design project. And at the point at which Luca felt like there was a misunderstanding between us, he ceaselessly texted and called me until we were able to meet together and look each other in the eyes and reconcile. And that at that point, I felt like I was more here than there. And that was a very special view into the way in which I saw him caring for me and for our family as well. Elisa's death left a lot of people wondering how and why this could possibly have happened. In the midst of grief, Luca was encouraged and challenged by a mutual friend when Luca expressed the uncertainty about, quote, rebuilding his life without Elisa. This friend said, "Rebuild? What are you talking about, rebuild? You have lived so well. You have lived such fullness. You don't have to rebuild. You have to adapt and keep going in the fullness of this life." And this is what you are seeing in him today. He is in his grief, but he is walking forward. Last year, we gave Luca and Elisa two gifts from here. The first was a painting I had made of the desert. It was a bright landscape painting where the desert is hot and obscure, but nevertheless a vision of the wilderness. At some point in my studio, Luca expressed how much they appreciated it. Later, I told Sharona, I want them to have it for whatever reasons I feel it is the right gift for the right family. It sometimes happens like that. Then late last January, we gave them each a pair of sandals that we bought them here in December. We had a supper together at their house, and then about a month later, she was gone. At the funeral, there were hundreds, over maybe even a couple thousand people in the main cathedral, the Duomo of Orvieto. From where we were sitting, we could not see everything on the altar. At one point in the liturgy, offerings were being laid to represent various aspects of her life, their life as a family, and their life as a couple. Afterwards, Elisa's sister-in-law, Emanuela, said to me, "Did you see the sandals?" I said, "No." She said, "Luca put the sandals on the altar." And when I greeted Luca, he said, "You know, I thought about putting both pairs of sandals on the altar. And then I realized Elisa's time walking on this earth is finished. But I have a lot of walking still to do." So lightheartedly, I said to him, now we really need to go to Jerusalem together. And I didn't realize how serious he was until 2 weeks later when he said, are you and Sharon and the kids going to Jerusalem this summer? Because if you are, I'm coming too with all the kids. A few days later, we met for coffee, and he said to us, and this really spoke to us, and I'm sure it will resonate with some of you because people come here for so many different reasons, but he said to us, he said, I do not want to go to Jerusalem so that I can see something spectacular. I do not expect to see stars align or stars collide. What I do need to do is pray at the foot of the cross and see the desert. I want to go to this city that knows so much death, so much love, and knows resurrection. Then he said to us, to think that she is in heavenly Jerusalem and I will be in the terrestrial Jerusalem is a beautiful but difficult thing to accept. Still, I am ready. Are you ready? Since our friends in Orvieto opened their hearts and doors to us, I am happy to have Luca here today in the same spirit of friendship, family, and communion. Luca, puoi venire? Dobbiamo avere, we need another microphone.
Spero di non piangere.
I hope that I won't cry.
Carissimi amici, essere qui questa mattina per parlare con voi è per me un grande onore.
Dear friends, to be here with you today is a huge honor.
Thank you. Mi presento, sono Luca Marchi, ho 36 anni, sono italiano e vivo Orvieto.
I want to introduce myself. I am Luca Marchi, I'm 36 years old and I'm from Orvieto.
Come Matteo e Sharona.
Like Sharona and Matt, who live in Orvieto too.
Sono un infermiere di sala operatoria.
I am a nurse in the operating theater.
Ho quattro figli.
I have four children.
Chiara, Francesco, Maria e Maddalena. Sono vedovo da quattro mesi.
I am a widow now for 4 months.
Mia moglie Elisa è morta per delle complicazioni nel dare alla luce Maddalena.
My wife Elisa died during the pregnancy to give light and life to our daughter Maddalena.
Se guardiamo la mia storia con occhi umani, io sono solo un povero uomo sfortunato che è rimasto solo con quattro figli.
If you look at my story with just human eyes, you say, look, what a poor guy. He lost his four kids. I mean, he lost his wife and now he's a single parent with four children.
Ma non è proprio così.
But this is not the case.
Voglio iniziare da una lettera che scrisse mia moglie.
I want to start with a letter written by my wife Elisa.
Avevamo forti dubbi dentro di noi se volere oppure no un quarto figlio.
We shared a lot of doubt over whether or not we should have a fourth child.
Ma poi ci siamo resi conto che noi non siamo i padroni della vita.
But then we realized we really aren't the ones completely in control of our lives or the ones controlling our lives.
Allora abbiamo detto, Signore, sia fatta la tua volontà.
And then we said, Lord, let your will be done.
Ci siamo aperti all'amore, quello con la A maiuscola.
We are open to your love with a capital A, amore.
Questi sono stati i mesi più belli della nostra vita.
These were the most beautiful months of our life leading up to the birth.
Pieni di tenerezza,
full of tenderness,
e di passione,
and passion.
In questa lettera Elisa mi diceva,
in this letter Elisa said to me,
non so cosa pensare di questa nuova gravidanza.
Non so cosa pensare.
Lei.
I don't know what I think about this pregnancy.
Ma oggi più che mai voglio inginocchiarmi di fronte alla vita.
But more than ever today, I want to kneel before.
Che sta nascendo dentro di me.
That is in front of this love that is starting to grow within me.
Anche io mi sono inginocchiato davanti al concepimento di Maddalena. Io.
Sì. Also, Luca began to, as you say, kneel before this the pregnancy of or the birth of Maddalena.
Che tra l'altro anche Maddalena è morta durante il parto insieme alla mamma.
Because in reality, Maddalena physically died at the same time when Elisa, in the how do you say this? I'll paraphrase. She also died for 10 minutes.
Sì. È stata senza ossigeno per 10 minuti.
Without oxygen, she was without oxygen for 10 minutes.
Ma credo che mia moglie abbia detto al Signore: "Prendi me, salva lei."
But I believe that Elisa said to the Lord, "Take me and leave my daughter, Maddalena."
Io oggi continuo a inginocchiarmi davanti al mistero della vita.
Even today I continue to kneel before the mystery of this divine love.
Tutto questo è incomprensibile.
All of this is incomprehensible.
Ma un mistero non si capisce, si contempla.
But you can't know a mystery, you can only contemplate it.
Credo che il Signore ci abbia preparato a tutto questo, questa storia.
I believe that God has prepared us for all of that you're hearing as a part of this story.
Anche la moglie del mio migliore amico è morta per un tumore a 27 anni.
Also the wife of my closest friend died of a tumor a quale età? 29?
27.
At 27 years old. His tutto, best friend's wife at 27 years old.
Tutta la loro storia ci ha messo di fronte al dolore, a questo dolore, grande dolore.
See, this immediately put me in front of all of this pain.
Sì. E ci ha messo di fronte alla possibilità di salutarci così presto.
And to put me in front of the reality that you could that we might die young, that you might die young. Of this the reality that you might pass without some long life.
Infatti il mio più grande dubbio per questa gravidanza.
In fact, my biggest doubt during this pregnancy
era la possibilità di perdere mia moglie o mia figlia.
Was his fear that he might lose either his wife or his daughter.
E questa paura mi ha accompagnato per tutti i 9 mesi di gravidanza.
And this fear accompanied me for the entire 9 months.
Io sono un infermiere, conosco i rischi di una gravidanza.
I'm a nurse, I know the risks involved of delivery.
A tal punto che pochi giorni prima che nascesse Maddalena,
at the point at which a few days before the birth of Maddalena,
avevo una grande angoscia nel cuore.
I had a huge
angoscia, dolore.
A huge pain in my heart.
Elisa, che è una psicologa, mi disse guardandomi.
Elisa, who was a psychologist, looked at him and said, "What's going on?"
Che cosa succede?
What happened?
E io ho risposto.
And I responded.
Non è giusto che ti appesantisco con i miei brutti pensieri.
He said, "I don't want to burden you with the heaviness that's in my heart."
E allora lei mi ha rassicurato.
Rassicurato.
Sì. Sì,
and then she comforted him.
E mi ha detto.
And said,
"Ma se fossero gli ultimi giorni che viviamo insieme."
And she said, "These might be the last days of our life together."
Possiamo buttarli via così?
Can we finish our life like this, with this type of in this part of our relationship?
Probabilmente la nostra anima si stava preparando a tutta questa storia.
Probably our spirits were being prepared with everything that was about to happen.
Io penso che sia incredibile che io oggi sia qui a Gerusalemme a parlare con voi della mia storia nella vostra chiesa.
I think it's incredible that I'm here in Jerusalem talking with you about my story.
In questi 12 anni di matrimonio io e Elisa
in these 12 years of our marriage together,
abbiamo scoperto che Gesù è il nostro sposo.
Elisa and I discovered that Jesus is our bride, our groom.
Come nel Cantico dei Cantici.
As it is in the Song of Songs.
Abbiamo sperimentato il suo grande amore.
We experimented with this huge love.
Il nostro amore è stato divinizzato da lui.
our love became this is a difficult one. Our love began to be
divinizzato. È stato reso divino.
It started to become divine love that we started to share.
Ma non perché noi siamo straordinari.
Not for any reason because we are extraordinary.
Ma perché tutti gli sposi sono chiamati a questo.
Because every couple is called to this.
Oggi che Elisa non è più fisicamente vicino a me,
even though Elisa today is not physically close to me,
io faccio questa esperienza.
I am still doing this
so che lei, so che lei è con il nostro amato, con Gesù, il nostro sposo.
He says, even though she's not here, I know that she's with our spouse Jesus.
In fondo questo era il nostro grande desiderio.
This is everything behind our huge great desire.
Consegnare l'altro completamente.
To give over the other completely.
Senza egoismo.
Without ego.
Nelle mani dello sposo Gesù.
Into the hands of Jesus.
Vorrei concludere sempre con il Cantico dei Cantici.
I want to conclude with this still with the Song of Songs.
Al capitolo 8. Mettimi come sigillo sul tuo cuore, come sigillo sul tuo braccio, perché forte come la morte è l'amore.
From Song of Songs 8. Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death. It's jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love, rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all of the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned.
Sì, è proprio vero.
Sì, it is really true.
Io oggi amo mia moglie più di prima.
Today, even today, I love my wife even more than before.
E sento il mio amore nei suoi confronti ancora crescere.
And I feel my love growing even more.
Grazie di avermi ascoltato.
Thank you for listening to my story.
Il Signore vi dia pace.
And may the Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Just to conclude, I want to show you something also, and just say more spontaneously. It's hard to do justice to the subtle, extraordinary subtleties of seeing somebody young like this pass in a very small but very deeply connected Italian town. I mean, the cathedral is the center of the town, and everybody is interconnected in ways that are fairly foreign to modern society. Everybody is interconnected. Everybody knows each other. Yes, that's small town life, but the civic and the religious are so intertwined that it's powerful to see. And there were thousands, a couple thousand people in the cathedral to celebrate the life of this young woman. So I want to show. Do you have those, Mari? Another thing happened during the years because there's this friendship that they've had with our program, with Gordon College in Orvieto. And one of our good friends, as you'll hear, made this series of paintings, and Elisa was the model for it. So I'll conclude. An amazing thing happened between 2005 and 2009. The painter Bruce Herman, a colleague and dear friend of our family, made a series of paintings in Orvieto on the subject of Mary. It is actually two large projects with the themes of Annunciation, the Magnificat, and the Crucifixion as the focal points of the subject. These are enormous, actually. They're huge paintings on wood with gold leaf, and they were installed in our program's headquarters. This is one of them. Okay. Elisa was the model for Mary as a young woman, Mary being overshadowed, as is written in Scripture, by the Holy Spirit, and Mary in old age. This is the one of Mary overshadowed. And this is all. Elisa was the model for all of these. As part of the installation of these paintings, we had an open invitation to the community and both a theatrical performance as well as a commissioned poem for the work on the occasion of its placement in the community. This is what Bruce Herman said about these works in his remarks. Mary's example as a young person with full presence of mind and heart surrendering to her calling, her deepest vocation as bearer of God into the realm of time and space and flesh, this example is really meant to be normal. Normal in the sense that all of us are likewise called to incarnate the truth, to live it, and bring beauty and genuine goodness into the world. Our failures to do this is a part of history, not only of the church, but of the human race. Our hope here is that music, theater, and art presented tonight makes a movement toward the high calling to give form, to give flesh to this mystery of God in our midst. And then, as my colleague John Skillen wrote, Mary, of course, is a witness to the Word in the most intimate ways. She bears the Word in her womb. She is the vessel of the Incarnation. Her own word of acceptance, be it unto me according to thy word, is testimony to the divine power that can be released when we say yes to God's word of invitation. These paintings are an incredible representation, not simply of the likeness of Elisa, and they are an incredible likeness of Elisa, but of the unfolding mystery and presence that we see at work in the relationships of so many people. But are we ready to take that invitation to be a witness wherever it may lead us, into suffering, into God-centered poverty, into unknown regions? Are we willing to make the bread and to be the bread of sacrifice and service? Are we ready to recognize the extraordinary in our lives, in the lives of others, when it is disguised as the ordinary, mundane reality that we are all called to? And so in connection with the painting that you saw before, this is the poem, Overshadowing, that was commissioned for the piece. Deep within the clay, and oh, my people, very deep within the holy earthen compound of our kind, arrives one clear, star-illumined evening, a spark igniting once again the ember of our lately banked noetic fire. She burns, but she is not consumed. The dew falls gently, suffusing the pure fleece. Her human flesh adorns its Lord, and lo, the wall comes down. And do you feel the pulse? We all become the kindled kindred of a king whose birth thereafter bears to all a bright nativity. That was by Scott Cairns. So may we too live in fullness and kneel, as we heard Lucas say, more often in front of the divine, present in the fruit of these lives God has given us for however long we have them. Amen.